Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, folks. This is Carl, and we're going to do our program for the next 90 minutes. Bible study with Carl on Freedomizer Radio. And I'm going to be a little slow talking today because, again, I've got what the doctors and dentists say is on my tongue and in my on the upper part of my mouth. I've got fever blisters on my tongue, and speaking is very tough because I can't help but rub the tongue up against the teeth, and it's it just makes me slow of talking. But we're gonna attempt this. I'll give you a number to call in on. It's 319-527-6208. 319-527-6208. And the usual rules, make a comment or ask a question if you care to. But please, please keep it to the context of what we're talking about so we don't lose the continuity of the study we're doing, which is going to go to Judges chapter 2, and we're going to start with verse 16. So hold on, let me get Raven. Okay, you're on.
Hey there, Carl.
Yep. So the number that I gave you is toll-free from anywhere in continental United States. And the only other rule, and I hate to keep saying this, but I've got to, if people call in, which has happened, hasn't happened to me in well over a year, about a year, call in and want to disrupt the program with inappropriate language and conversation, I will immediately disconnect, and then you'll have to go to another phone if you're going to try it, because I am keeping a list of all the phone numbers that people you've used to do it. And I've had quite a few, probably half a dozen or more numbers. But that's the game people play, as Freddie Weller used to say, and the games people play till they're in the back of a big black Cadillac. And that's not going to stop. I understand that. But I will not tolerate it. In the past, I've tried to reason. No reason needed anymore. Okay, enough of that nonsense. We are going to, Raven, why don't you again pray? In fact, pray for Raven and I, because you got two people here that are, we're getting a lot of things going wrong at one time. So, I don't know, if you combine the both of us, we don't even make one fully functional person, probably physically, but.
Boy, you're right about that, Carl.
No, it's pathetic.
It is.
Go ahead and go ahead.
Father, we
are you there? Yep.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep. Good.
Hello. Okay. All right. Father, we come to you today and just ask your mercy upon us as we at least get through this program. You know that Carl and I are struggling, but we ask that you just put it aside for this next hour and a half for us so that we can take this time with you. Yeah. So that we can take this time for you. Just take our minds off of it so that we can listen to the Holy Spirit and allow him to do this teaching. In Christ's name, amen. All right. I know it's a big ask, Carl,
I thought that was a funny comment you made.
I know it's a big ask, but I believe he can do it. So.
Oh, yeah. All right.
I got the heat on me, so. You should see me sitting here. I've got a heating pad that is specifically for my neck, and it is up around my neck. I've got the heat on my chair turned on high. I've got a blanket up over me.
Let me ask you a question, because
my
wife keeps telling me to take, she can get heating pads. Does that help with soreness?
Oh, yeah. It really does. It really helps me a lot. You know, I get up every morning, and the first thing I do as soon as I get up is just, I come out here, I sit in my chair. I have a special chair that has heat and massage, and I sit back in it, and I put my legs in it, legs up, and I turn on the heat, and then I put heat up around my neck, and it kind of gets me going a little bit in the morning, at least. It kind of, how can I explain it? It sort of gets my...
So what you're saying is I ought to wrap this heating pad around my neck and shoulders.
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
I would. It helps. It does help. Yeah.
It doesn't cure.
I don't think
it. You're not curing it.
Yeah.
You're just killing the pain. Okay.
Yeah. It's, well, you know, it's what it sort of does is it sort of, I think it helps get the oxygen, the blood sort of moving in that area a little better. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Heat,
and,
heat will do that. Heat will.
Yes. And that's what it helps with. I can actually feel it sort of, I don't know how to explain it, but it just sort of gets things moving, you know. This is why, you know, I had to buy, sorry folks, I know we're off on a tangent, but maybe somebody can be helped too. You know, I had to get, my car broke down and I had to get the new one, and that's the one thing I said, if I had to get a new car, I was getting heated seats in my new car. And that's what I got. I just insisted. So my new car has heated seats, and I got to tell you, in the wintertime, even in the summer when I have the AC on, if I'm having a really bad pain day, that heated seat is on while I have on the
AC.
I
understand. Yep.
Yeah, and it really, really helps. That heat in my back and my shoulders really helps. Yeah.
Okay. I'll try that. Not now, but I will try it. All right, let's go to Judges.
Yeah, you might find it helps you.
I will try.
All right.
I want to start with 13. I want to start with 13 and read through 15. 2:13 through 15, and it shows the disobedience of these people and why they went through 450 years of 9 different apostasies and the penalties they paid for anywhere from 10 to 50 years were tremendous. They'd lose 30, 40, 50,000 people, the Jews, the people of Israel would, because they did not obey God in the promised land. And if you're a born-again believer, folks, you're in the promised land. And what God's asking us to do is trust him. Trust everything he tells us, not leave it to our understanding. But they never did this. 450 years. They went and served false idols 9-10 times. They had 9 apostasies, 450 years. And every time God raised up judges for them. But go ahead and read 13 through 15, and then we'll start with 16.
All right. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. So he delivered them into the hands of plunderers who despoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Ah, oh, wherever they went out.
Raven, just think, have you ever felt that way where you could no longer stand? Not saying that God's angry with you.
Oh, yeah, I do understand this. You know, when we get to the point where we have just, I think that maybe he does get that way though when we are just I can see that when we are just not listening, when we're not listening
that's
to him,
exactly
when we're doing what we want to do.
That's why we're reading this, Raven. We're not reading this as history, although it is. This is exactly to apply to us.
When we're wanting to do things our way and we're rebelling, you know, we're saying, I can do this. I can take it into my own hands. And he says, you know what? You want to take it into your own hands? See what happens when you do. You know,
Hold on. That's exactly what happened. They kept telling God, like your kid does, after a while, your kid that you bring to school and take them into class when they first start, after a while, he says, I can handle it. I don't need you anymore.
Yeah.
And when we do that to God, it's a false God because we're listening to a false God. Well, I don't worship any stone. When you listen to yourself over God, you are a false God yourself.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, go with 15.
All right. Wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. Where's this verse at? There's a verse that says,
Let me make a differentiation.
Yeah, go ahead.
These people would turn to idolatry. If you're going to your pastor, your denomination, your favorite TV evangelist, your favorite commentary, and you are ignoring going to God, you are worshiping an idol. But you and I can be in this point without worshiping an idol. And Raven, you're a good one to speak about this because you can be in this. This is Hebrews chapter 12, which is exactly what James says in 1:2-4. So the point I'm making here is we can experience this where God has turned us over because of our following an idol. But God could be doing this to you to advance you as chapter 12 of Hebrews does. Chapter 12 of Hebrews is a terrible account of chastisement and chastening. And even Jesus has said he had to learn obedience by the things he suffered. So what I'm saying is this always doesn't come, this feeling of not being able to even stand any longer against your enemies and the problems that you have may not be because of idolatry, but it could be. I'm just saying, because in Hebrews 12, it says, those he loves, he chastens.
Yeah.
And that's for the purpose of James 1:2-4, to build us. There is chastening because of rebellious sin. But there is also chastening to grow us spiritually. That's the point I'm trying to make.
You know, a verse came to my mind as we were reading verse 15, because it says, wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had said. You know, and it talks about how they couldn't stand in verse 14 before their enemies, because God was angry with them. Well, in Romans 8, verse 31, it says, if God is for us.
Hold on.
Yep.
Hold on. Who can be against us? Okay.
Yes. And when God is not for us at that time, he's not for what we're doing. You know what I mean? He's not. Mm-hmm. He's saying, listen, the way you're behaving, your attitude, everything, you're not for me. And right now, I'm not for you. It doesn't mean that he is against us, but it's against who we are. He's against our behavior. He's saying, no, I'm not going to allow
you.
Yes, exactly.
And that's what's happening here, because he always comes to their rescue, but he still is going to allow these things, not to make them not to further them in their walk, but as punishment for sin.
Okay. So the answer to who can be against us is
nobody.
Everyone can be against us when God is saying, nope,
you are not.
Do you see what I mean?
Yep.
We have
but
to remember that.
Just hold on a minute. By the same token, when God is working in you, James 1, 2 through 4, in order to sanctify you, nobody's against you.
That's right.
Because it's not a result of sin. It's God growing
That's
you
right.
by tribulation. Okay.
That's right.
There are two different
yeah.
things there, because we can't say that everybody who has a problem is because of sin, although it might be. I don't know.
Oh, yes. That's so true. Yes.
Well,
yes.
yeah, because for me to say that, Raven, if you were listening to this and I said that, and then it go through your mind, you're sinning. No, God allows trouble to grow us and to punish us. It's our choice.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Go
and
ahead.
We need to see. We need to look and see, you know, sort of judge ourselves as to, am I pulling away from God? You know, am
Where
I pulling away from him?
Hold on. Where would you start?
I'd
we
start by
James
looking
1,
at myself.
2 through 4, go to James 1, 5.
Yes.
That's
yes,
what
James
says,
1, 5.
Right
Very
after
good.
2 through 4. If you want to know
yes.
what is wrong, go to him.
Yes. Yes. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Go straight to him
and
ask him,
right
Lord.
And that's right after. Raven, read 2 through 4. And that's right after
all right.
4.
My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You know, it's interesting, Carl. I just have to say it's interesting. Whether it be because we are in sin or whether it be because we're against him or because we are simply going through trials in order to grow us, it's always for our good.
Oh, absolutely. I just wanted to make the distinction, though, that the fact you're
yeah.
going through trouble right now is not necessarily because you sinned, although it might be. But what you
right.
do
yeah.
is start with James 5. For instance, 1, yeah. 5. For instance, Raven, you could be in sin doing something and not even be aware of it. And that's why
yes.
James 1, 5 is so important. Ask him.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. What is the reason for these trials, Lord? He'll show you.
Yeah. But when
he
does,
will.
if it's sin, respond positively. God,
yes.
show me the sin, show it to me, and give me the strength to repent and turn away from it.
Yes.
Do you have anything else to say on this, James 1? Because really, James 1, 2 through 5 is saying everything we've said so far.
Yeah, Carl, wait a minute. I got to turn to the side here so you can stick the knife in the other side of my back.
Uh-huh.
It's hard, right? I mean, this is hard.
I know that, but you're saying the right thing. Do you notice that one for wisdom comes right after those 2 through 4?
Yeah.
He's telling
Don't
go to an idiot like Carl or someone else to ask him if you're in sin or what's wrong. Go to God,
right.
please.
Yeah. Sometimes we just have to admit that, listen, you know what? There are some things that I'm doing that I shouldn't be.
And Raven, you may not even be conscious of it.
Right. Or you know what? You might be conscious of it, but you just haven't been ready to give it up.
Okay, and that's
maybe
another
you've
situation.
Been...
But there's things, Raven, that I've seen that in retrospect I know they were wrong, but at the time I didn't know it.
Yeah, right. Oh, true.
Now, what you said is true. There would be sins that I could sweep under the rug, and God's saying,
yes.
no, this rug has to be picked up.
Yeah, I like how you put that there.
There's so many combinations here. We can't rely. That's why James 1:5 is after 2-4. It almost doesn't seem to fit if you look at it. But what he's saying, you've got to come to me for these things. I'm the only one that can give you the reason, because you're right.
Yeah.
Even if it's sin, God's doing it to grow us.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it might be hard. I mean, it might be really hard to admit. Sometimes we can't even admit it to ourselves. I mean, never mind admitting it to somebody else. You don't have to admit it to anybody else unless God tells you to.
No.
Right.
Not unless
it's something that God has told you. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless it's something God has told you that you need to do for some reason. You know, it's really just a matter of God working in you to fix the problem.
Amen. Amen. The problem is, if we keep sweeping it under the rug, the pain is going to get worse.
Oh, yeah.
He's not going to stop because you delayed it.
Yeah.
I remember years ago I heard Charles Stanley. Stanley said, you know what? When I tell God I don't know what he's talking about, he puts me on the wheel and away we go again.
Yeah. Huh. Mm. Yep.
But not all the time, Raven, is it sin in your life, although it could be. And it could be it could be sin that's intentional, or it's sin that you really don't realize. But when God brings it to you, he knows it's going to hurt you in the future. So go to him and ask him about all of this. Don't go by a commentary or a nut like me who can't even handle my own problems.
You know, and I want to say something because it's so important, because something just hit me.
Yeah, go ahead.
And it shouldn't. It shouldn't have just hit me. See, this is where I should have been in the last several days.
Raven, maybe that, but we should have been. That's what I'm saying. God is going to give you things as you can handle them. The point is, I'm saying, it doesn't mean that you've intentionally sinned.
Right. Well, you know, and sometimes we just put up a block, if you will, you know. It's like, and maybe unknowingly, maybe not necessarily. Yeah, there's been something I've been going through.
Hold on. Only he can tell you whether you're doing it knowingly or not.
But there's been
something I've been going through,
and I'm not going to go through what.
Go ahead.
You know, it doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't matter what it is.
Go ahead.
But something I've been dealing with over the last week, and I've just been thinking, you know, I need to get rid of this. It's bothering me, and you know whatnot. And the problem is, what I should have done is what I usually do, and that is just say, you know, Satan, leave me alone, and gone directly to God and said, God, you handle this. Please, you handle this. I am not capable of handling it. But what I've been doing is trying to handle it on my own, and because it's I guess I would say a more fleshly thing. I guess most things that we deal with are, even if they start in the mind, they become a more fleshly thing. So, you know, but instead of me saying, God, you handle it, I've been trying to handle it on my own, I guess because it's something that I've handled on and off on my own all my life. And so, or for a good part of my life. And so, but see, the first thing I should have done, I should have gone directly to him and just said, nope. And I'm used to doing that. But for some reason with this thing, I'm used to handling it more on my own.
But you see, God was showing you, God showed you when you went to him where your mistake was.
Yeah. Yes. And this is what he's been trying to do with the children of Israel all through this, is say,
Amen.
You have to.
Amen.
Yeah. You have to get to the point where you just lean on me.
They not only didn't lean on him, they now went into willing sin, which is a whole new ball game, which cranks up the chastisement and the discipline much more. You're bringing trouble on yourself by sin, folks. We all are.
Yeah.
That's something, Raven, that I have really realized personally in the last year.
Yeah. And sin, when you come right down to it, is lack of faith.
That's all it is. Well, that's Romans 14:23. Anything not done in faith is sin.
Yeah.
Now, as God has done every time, he did it 9 times, actually 10. The last judge, 1 Samuel, they told him, we no longer want to be subject to God. But read 16.
Yeah.
This is what God does to you.
Then the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them.
There you go. The God raises up a judge. Who's the judge in this case? The judges were the ones who God gave the word to speak his word to the people. And our judge that speaks that way to us is the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And he's constantly going to be speaking to you.
Yes.
Now,
the
Lord nevertheless means, even though we have repeatedly ignored God, we may have repeatedly committed the same sins. Until you leave God. Here's a verse you read last week. It's in chapter 2, verse 1. At the end of it, God said, I will never break my covenant with you. Until you break your covenant with him, he will always, nevertheless, no matter how much you rebel, if you have not turned away from him as they did in 1 Samuel 8:6, where they told Samuel, the last judge, we don't want God involved anymore. And you know what?
Yes.
God gave them their wish.
Yeah.
Now read 17. Yeah. This is sad. This is sad.
Yet they would not listen to their judges.
Which is the Holy Spirit responding to you and I in James 1:5. You see James 1:5 in this?
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely.
Okay.
Yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with other gods and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do so.
Now, remember, their fathers was referring to Joshua and Caleb.
Yeah.
Remember that? And in the beginning of Judges, it says that when Joshua died, there were other kings who followed him, other leaders. But these leaders did not know God. But the fathers did. They did not do so, okay? So now we've got willing sin, which is going to bring down a lot harder on your head the severity of the chastising and chastening. Because now it's not just chastising and chastening. It's going to be some punishment for willingly sinning. But all of it is done until you break your covenant with God. God is doing every bit of it, Raven, as you said, and it was a good point to help us, not to hurt us.
Yes.
Because he'll never break his covenant with us if we don't break it with him. All right, go ahead with 18.
Exactly. And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge and delivered them out of the land of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning because of those who oppressed them and harassed them.
Even though it was their fault. See, that's where God is infinite in his mercy. Infinite. But if you leave him and leave the covenant and don't repent and come back, you're in deep trouble. God will never leave you no matter what you do. As long as you sincerely in your heart don't leave him.
Yeah.
Even though there's times when I've looked at myself and said, if I were God, I wouldn't keep coming back to me. And I've said that.
Yeah.
But I'm a human. He's infinite. All right, go ahead with 19.
And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers by following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way.
And these were people who were enjoying God's benefits.
Yes.
That is us, Raven. That's me. But as long as I don't break covenant with him, he will never leave me go. He's going to make life tough until I open my eyes.
Yes. Yes, but we don't cease from doing our own stubborn way.
Yep.
Thankfully, if we continue to repent, if we continue to see how foolish we're being, just like I did this week and said just now, and said I can't believe that I've been so foolish as to not turn to him, you know.
Oh, you've seen this just recently.
Just today.
Okay.
As we've
okay.
been talking.
But see, there's a difference. You didn't do it intentionally, so God is not going to be as severe with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would like you to read Galatians 2:18 with this and tell me if you see what I'm saying.
All right.
This is what these people were doing. This is where they're now. They went. Remember it said they bowed themselves to their idols?
Yeah.
This is Galatians 2:18. Every time God delivers me from my own sin and my own willingness to sin, and he says to me, Carl, you're going out, you're rebuilding what we destroyed.
Yes. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor.
Oh, yes. Mm. See, that's a difference, Raven, between doing it unknowingly and not understanding what happened, that you actually were going back to the flesh. When you out and commit sin willingly, you're rebuilding the very thing God has destroyed. And that's what I see they were doing here in 17 and 18. In 17 and 18, they were doing what Galatians 2:18 said.
Yeah. And I find myself sometimes just going back into that without even realizing that I'm doing it.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be a little harder on myself. Because there's times I can tell you, in fact, it was just about 10 years ago where I went back into it willingly and knowingly, which is even worse than doing it in ignorance.
It's just so.
No, go ahead.
And I have to tell you, it's funny you say that. No, not 10 years ago. I'm going to say it was more like about 15 years ago. Yeah, I was doing the exact same thing. I knew that I was wrong, but I just didn't want to let go of all of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I just wasn't. All right.
Well, no, go ahead. Keep talking.
Okay.
I just
wasn't ready to let go of it all. And I have to say, I'm not sure that I'm ready to let go of all of it now. You know, I mean, it's not that I...
That's why he's putting us through the trials.
Yes. Yeah. It's not that I don't want to. It is... How do I explain this? It's not that I don't... You know, it's the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, you know? It is... And that's really what it is. I can't say it any different than that. That's what it is.
That's why I'm nothing. You're right.
I want to in my spirit, but my flesh rises up and says, nah, you can do that later. You can do that later. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to give this up yet. You could hold on to this. And I have said this to myself, Carl. I literally have said this to myself. You can hold on to this one while God is working on the other one. You don't have to let go of that one yet. I have said that to myself.
Raven, I understand.
You don't have to let go of that one because God's working on another one now. Just let him work on that one for now. And you can hold on to this one until that one's done. I mean,
I understand.
I don't think
that I can stand two at once.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I can't deal with going through both of these at once. So. Once he gets
You're
rid of
right.
the one,
you
then...
You can't.
Yeah.
That's why Paul
yep.
told him all these problems he went through, my grace is sufficient. That's where I spent
yes.
the whole morning since I got up at my ridiculous time of 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Are you going to start yep. trusting in my grace rather than your strength?
Yeah.
And I have not, Raven. I have not trusted in his grace. I'd like to say yes, but in reality, I'm not. Because his grace is enough for me. You know your biggest problem?
I don't, but I'm sure you're going to tell me.
Yeah.
What is it, Carl?
You share in some of my weaknesses. Because that's exactly the way I am. I'm having
yeah.
trouble, even though intellectually I know his grace is enough. But he's
yeah.
telling me, Carl, you're not willing to trust in my grace regardless of what happens. And he's right. He is right.
Yeah. yeah.
Anything else you want to add?
Oh, you know, I got to tell you, I'm sitting here looking at Romans 7 versus... starting in about verse 13 and going down to about, we can't get there because, oh goodness, it would take us another hour, but going through like verse 25. And I got to tell you, I think that's going to be where my next study is going to be because this is some deep stuff. This is where he talks about.
It is deep, but we don't want to. We don't want to ignore it.
In fact, I think just Romans chapter 7 is where I'm going to go next because he talks about how this struggle. He talks about this struggle about, you know, that which I would do, I do not do, and that which I would do, I don't. You know, this is that struggle that he talks about. And I think that's where I'm going to be next when I get done with 1 Corinthians. I just feel this pull towards, and maybe that's the reason I'm going through so much right now. I don't know. Or maybe he talking about me going here because of the struggle. Who knows? All I know is that I really feel pulled to go through. And I think it's because a lot of people, I know that, you know, everyone, don't we all go through this struggle, Carl? You know, I think
yeah.
if we don't, if we say that we don't, then we're not being truthful with ourselves.
We're lying.
Yeah.
We're lying.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we all go through it. If we're not struggling, then I would say, I don't think we're probably safe.
You may have a serious problem.
Yeah.
You may have a serious problem.
Yes. Yeah.
Elaborate on that.
What's that?
Elaborate on that. Which is,
when
I say that, I'm talking about Hebrews 12, is it 6?
Right. That's exactly where I was about to head.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was heading. Because, in Hebrews 12, let's start in verse 5. God says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. But what son is there whom a father does not chasten? If you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons." We all struggle, all of us.
Yeah.
If we didn't struggle, we wouldn't have need of chastening. And we are all chastened, all of us, every single believer. If we aren't being chastened, we're not believers. And we don't have need for chastening if we're not struggling. So,
man, do you see how serious this is, folks, what she's saying? Please listen to this. If you are not struggling in your life,
yeah.
And that doesn't mean every day. We're talking about year after year after year.
Right. But honestly, Carl, I think, and this is the opposite of what most mainline Christian churches
teach.
In my experience, most mainline Christian churches will teach you that if you are having problems, it's because you're living in sin, that you're not a good enough Christian, you're not doing enough good things in your life, this kind of thing. That if you, that good Christians, quote unquote, you know, people who are following God, whatever, but people who have gone to the ninth cloud or something, but that if you are really a Christian, you're not going to go through struggles. You're not going to go through trials, this kind of thing. But Carl, the closer I get to God, the more struggles I have.
That is what you're saying. Now,
yeah,
what she is also saying, and I want to emphasize this, most of the church folks today of Laodicea, which we are in, they want you to think that by coming to them and paying them money, and I'm not saying everyone, that you're not going to have any problems. If you don't have problems, in the King James Version, Paul says you're a bastard. That's not my word. That's in the King James Version of Hebrews 12, 6 or 8. That's the exact word they use.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something else. I've told Raven many times, in a space of 2 weeks, about 2.5 weeks ago, so we're going back 3 to 4 weeks, I heard the following people on radio on CSN: Dr. David Jeremiah, Dr. Jack Graham, Alistair Begg, and Greg Laurie, and a fifth one who I can't remember, a Southern gentleman. And they all said the churches are failing the people as far as giving them the true gospel of the necessity of repenting from sin and just that this is going to be all a wonderful experience, and it's going to be just put your, and these are these people, these big name people that are saying it, and it is true. There's a difference, though, between God. God could leave you in peace for a year without any chastisement, because only he knows what's necessary. But if you just have gone 10, 12, 15 years and nothing, no, everything is, as the seeker-sensitive people say and the prosperity people, everything is turning up roses. You may want to do what 2 Corinthians 13:5 says. Go to God, like James 1:5. God, am I walking with you? Because you may not be. You may have joined a club because you repeated a prayer after me. I've got news for you. Repeating a prayer without acknowledging you're a hopeless sinner bound to hell, as Ephesians 2 and Romans 5, the first 10 verses of each one, were hopeless without God. Until you have that preached to you, folks, a sinner's prayer means nothing. Once you acknowledge you've committed willful sin against God and you deserve his punishment and you acknowledge that, then the sinner's prayer is fantastic.
You know, the problem is that the churches, most churches today preach that becoming a Christian, accepting Christ, is about you. It's not about you.
Amen.
It's
about him.
It is not a get out of hell free card. It is a turning to Christ card. It is a turning to him and saying, I am not worthy. Remember what John the Baptist said, I am not worthy to clean your sandals. That's what he said to Christ. I am not worthy. I am not good enough for your heaven, Lord. Instead of me trying to get there on my own with my works, I have to go through Christ. I have to believe in him for salvation, his shed blood. It's not about us. It's about him. That's the problem. Today's church says, it's all about us. What do you want? Do you want to go to heaven? What do you want? No. Do you want to be blessed? Do you want this? No. It's what have you done to disgrace yourself in front of a holy and awesome God? What have you done to destroy your relationship with him? What have you done to say, I don't care about him, I don't love him, I don't acknowledge him as the creator of the universe? That's what it is.
And see, Raven, that's where we may not even know. That's where I say, whether you've willfully sinned or you're not sure or whatever, go to God first. See, what Jack Graham and this Jeremiah and Alistair Begg and Dr. Jack Graham, David Jeremiah, Alistair Begg, and Greg Laurie were saying the same thing. Go to God. Don't go to your – don't put me up as an idol. I can't even help myself.
Yes.
Now, they didn't all give the same message. I'm not saying that. They all said the same idea in a message they delivered independently. And there was one other man, a guy, a Southern man, and he was the most brutal on the modern seeker-sensitive churches and prosperity, where they want people to think that the whole idea of Christianity is so you live in peace on earth.
Right.
And
then
I give these men credit. I give these men credit. I don't particularly follow anybody, but every one of these four or five people, They were very honest about it. And they said, folks, the churches in general are failing. In general. They're not criticizing your church. They don't even know, with their audience of hundreds of thousands of people, they have no idea. But they're looking
right.
at things in reality.
Yes.
So you
exactly.
see, Raven, all the conversation we've had recently here, we're right here in the middle of this Judges that you're reading.
Yes.
That's the way I
yes.
want to look at this Bible. It's not talking about 3,500 years ago, although it is 35. It's not talking about history, although it is history. It's not talking about a group of people, although it is. It's talking about you and I, because the same enemy who is out to just steal, kill, and destroy you and I is the one that was working on them.
Right. Exactly. There's really nothing, there truly is nothing new under the sun. You know what I mean?
No.
Everything continues as it's always
yeah.
been. Everything continues as it's always
said.
Been.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, we
oh,
say, but God,
you
don't understand. You know, we say, you don't understand my situation, Lord. You don't understand what I'm going through. He does. He knows exactly what we're going through. Exactly.
Now let's
and he knows what we're
going to
go through tomorrow.
So, yep. Go to 19, and these are people who deliberately sinned. These are worse people than you say you were, Raven, who told God, I'm not ready for it. These people, they didn't care what God said. They willingly turned from him after he sent them a judge to help them because they repented. This
and
is
it came
where
to
you're
pass.
Bringing calamity on your head. This is your bringing.
Yes.
If you take this attitude and willingly turn back and stay into the same thing you repented of over and over and over, you're tempting God, folks.
And it came to pass when the judge was dead that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers by following other gods to serve them and bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way.
You see, Raven, now, if you're doing something in ignorance or you're telling God, God, I can't handle these on my own, there's a big
right.
difference from what they were doing. They actually said, God, stuff it. Put it in your left ear. I am going to sin,
yep.
and I don't care what you say, think, or do.
Do right.
you realize that when you get to that point, Raven, and I'm telling you, 10 years ago, I made this mistake. 12 years, maybe more like 10. But do you see where you're bringing, instead of bringing a half inch of snow on your head, you're bringing 30 feet?
Yeah.
You're killing yourself when you get into 19. But you know what?
Yeah.
10 times the people went into verse 19. But God in his infinite mercy forgave them every time. And the last time, which we're going to get to, is 1 Samuel chapter 8, where they told Samuel, we're tired of this God. We no longer want him. Read it. Anybody who's listening, read it. We don't want this God anymore. And God
yeah.
said, that's it. And this was after 450 years. God said, that's it. You won't have to worry about me anymore. And when you do that, as Yogi Berra said, the game's over. The fat lady sings. So let's try to pay attention to this God warning us in what Raven's reading before we get to the point where Israel went to. That's the whole purpose of what we're reading.
Yes.
Okay, keep going. 20.
Then the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, because this nation...
I don't want
yes.
that to happen against any of you folks, anyone,
yes.
other than Raven.
Because this no. nation has transgressed. Folks, just so you know, Carl and I are such close friends. You heard that thin line between love and hate?
We've known No,
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
When did you start going to Eric's church?
Let me think here a minute. It was in 2000. I want to say like 16, 14, right in there. Somewhere in there.
Let's say 15. So we've known each other for 8 years. So,
yeah. Wow.
And
not
only that, folks. This is not our only communication. We partake
in several
Bible studies together with other people. So,
yeah.
So God doesn't chastise me for. Okay.
Yeah, we have an interesting Christian relationship that God has definitely grown. This is, yes.
Well, you know, there's a third person also by the name of Jim,
and the three of us
are pretty much on the same track.
Yes, definitely. Definitely, yeah.
All right, go ahead then through 20,
all right.
And I won't interrupt you.
Yes. All right, that's 20, yes. Then the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because this nation has transgressed, my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, has not heeded my voice.
They have not heeded it. Listen to that. That's where you pray James 1:5. Are you listening to what he's saying? Think of that.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
So, Raven, it's one thing to ask, but I could ask you a question and then hang up on you. And I mean, I've probably done that to God occasionally.
Oh, yeah.
Take this seriously.
Wow.
Take it seriously, folks.
Yeah. You know, the way you put it like that, you know, just like it's like hanging up on him, you know, and that's just what you're
yeah.
so right.
No, you're
that's
right.
Exactly what it is. It's like saying, nope, not listening to you and slamming down the phone. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
There may be some young people here listening that think slamming down the phone, what is that going to do other than break your phone? But we know what we're talking about. Back in the day,
yeah.
on the old
in
phone,
the old
you used
days,
to slam
you had,
the.
You had to put the receiver down on a spring loaded. Little platform to disconnect. Yeah.
Right. And the person on the other end would hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
The person on the other end would hear this slam in their ear, and if you did it hard enough,
yep.
yeah. Yeah, and that's what we're talking about.
Yeah,
that's what we're talking about there. It's
we
yeah.
didn't just push
God
the button.
Right. So, I read
now,
something on Facebook the other
God,
day. What's
look
that?
At 21. This cell 21 tells you what happens if you continuously ask God and don't listen to Him. Pay attention to this 21. 22
All right.
and 23. 21 through 23. If you're going to constantly ask God, and every time He tells you, you ignore it.
Yes. I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died. So that through them I may test Israel, whether they will keep the ways of the Lord to walk in them as their fathers kept them or not.
Now, would
therefore,
you please
the Lord,
go to Hebrews? Hold on. Go to Hebrews 3:12. This is to test you. Are you going to stick with Him or are you going to break covenant? And Hebrews 3:12 shows that as believers, we can break the covenant. He will never break it.
Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Yeah.
You see where he's pushing us in 22 to that point? He's pushing us to that point. You want to play games with God? He's going to push you to the point where you're choosing your eternal resting place right here.
Yeah.
Push the envelope, folks. Why push it?
Right.
Why not listen to the Holy Spirit when year after year he convicts you?
Right. Yep. He says, okay, you don't want to listen to me. You want to do it your way? Do it your way. Let's see what happens. Let's see what kind of trouble you can get yourself into. But the reason for that, the reason for him doing that is so that we will come back to him. We will cry out to him.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you're either going to go one way or the other.
That's right.
In verse 22, he does it because he's tired of you after 450 years like they were, in and out, in and out, in and out.
Yeah.
So now you're testing God, and he's going to put you he is going to bring it to a conclusion.
Yeah.
In fact, in all honesty, Raven, this is what we're studying in Revelation. We're going to find out whether we have the mark of the beast in our mind or the mark of God. This is pushing you to that point.
Yeah.
All right, there are 23.
Therefore, the Lord left those nations without driving them out immediately, nor did he deliver them into the hand of Joshua.
In other words, God did not destroy the enemy because you broke covenant.
Right, right.
Every time you listen to some Mary Poppins preacher giving you a gospel, all you got to do is be baptized in water. All you got to do is repeat a prayer after me. All you got to do is join this church. Anything other than directing you to Acts 20:21 says it perfect. Repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. Repentance towards God and faith, not one or the other. You cannot repent unless you have faith in Christ. You cannot have faith in Christ unless you've repented. There's a good verse, Raven, for people who say you don't need to repent. And you remember where I told you this week that I read on a Christian website where someone put out there, if you're preaching repentance from sin is necessary for salvation, it's a false gospel?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. What verse was that again?
Here, Acts 20:21. Turn to it and repeat it.
Okay.
If you do not repent of your sin, you don't have faith in Christ, not saving faith.
20:21. Oh, yes. Testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah.
You don't have the repentance, folks. And if you're listening to a soft soap, seeker sensitive, where God's a big God, he accepts all sin. And as I heard from another major denomination years ago, God has prevenient grace and prevenient will. In other words, his will includes a lot of your sin. No, it doesn't. God has one good, pleasing, and perfect will. That's Romans 12:2. And that will is for you to be conformed to the image of his son. For these people to say that God has prevenient will or any other false word they come up with that says God tolerates. God doesn't tolerate sin. His infinite love and infinite mercy, his infinite love and infinite mercy allow him to tolerate us. But he does not tolerate any sin, period. He died on the cross to rid you of it.
Yes.
Don't listen to the messages that are not preaching sin and you're acknowledging it, being convicted of it, and asking God for his mercy and strength to repent. You can't even repent on your own. The grace of God leads to repentance. See, you said something before. Everything is what we do. That's a false gospel. That truly is. But how a Christian website that puts up a lot of good stuff by big name preachers of the past, they allowed this thing to go be posted on their site, and it says repent if you're preaching repentance from sin is necessary to salvation, it's a false gospel. How anybody could allow that to go on is beyond my comprehension.
Because for me, that's, you're putting those other preachers who are on there, you're saying that they agree with that, and that's wrong.
And that's that. I hadn't thought of that, but yeah, you're right. And you should have seen the comments. There were like 200 comments, and they were all agreeing with this yahoo.
Wow.
How anybody could not censor that? But that's not, I'm not in charge of site, so let's keep going.
See, but
with
that,
judges now.
And, yeah. And that's the problem right there, that so many people believe that, that is,
it worse.
Oh, that's just, yeah.
In fact,
just
bear
think
with me
that,
a minute. I'm gonna bring that up real quickly. Just hold on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to see if I can see the number. I'm going to see if I can see the number of comments. No, I don't. No. I'll
That's
read it to
very
you.
Sad.
Preaching repentance of your sins to get saved is a false gospel.
Mm.
No, 114 people loved it or liked it. 114.
That's very sad.
And they're going to this website that has things by Spurgeon, by Sproul, by Charles Stanley, David Jeremiah, that are really good things. And they're saying this. And this site allowed it to be on there.
Well, here's an interesting verse that would debate that. So 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish. So he doesn't want any of us to end up in hell, right? But that all should come to repentance.
There you go.
Now, that sounds an awful lot to me like in order to be saved, you must repent.
Well, then put that with that Acts 20:21. In fact, hold on,
actually,
Raven, this book.
Actually, I'm
on.
Just
I'm
about to go to
this,
Acts 20:21 and put that, yes,
I'm gonna put
that verse
hold
there.
Hold on, I'm gonna put that. Now, just hold on a minute. Acts 20:21.
Right.
I'm going to write that verse you just wrote, and that was 1 Peter 3:9.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. In fact, let me go to 1 Peter. This is what Raven and I do with each other in Bible studies. We get books where we can't even read the pages anymore because we got so many notes.
We have so many in there, yeah.
Okay, with 9, I want to put Acts 20:21. But how the administrators on Facebook of this site didn't catch that is because it's not like they're preaching false stuff with their other people, but I don't know. That's not my worry.
Well,
now,
you know,
if you continue,
people will just write something, you know. Some people will just write something and then, I agree, but, you know. And they don't even know what they're talking about.
As you know, I was censored, and I won't say from where.
Right.
They told me they would that I was removed, that I was saying things that were damaging to people, and all I did was quote a verse.
Right.
How these people have the thought police in place on Facebook, and they censored me for quoting a verse that is damaging to people. How they could on the, there's these administrators and all this, and they supposedly censor and edit what you're saying. How they could allow this on there is beyond my comprehension.
Right.
Now, here's the problem, Raven. We go back to Judges 2:22.
Mm-hmm.
If you get into 23, and he turns you over to a reprobate mind.
Yes.
Where after a while, with Israel, he did. He turned them over to a reprobate mind where they could no longer see the truth. It was veiled from them. In fact, read 2 Corinthians 4:4, and this is where Israel, after 4,000 years, or after right after Christ was crucified, when he told Paul and Peter to take the gospel to the Gentiles, he permanently erased the Great Commission from Israel. And read in 2 Corinthians 4:4, this can happen to you folks, and this is exactly what this verse 23 is. Don't push the grace of God for 40 years like these people did, because there's a time when he says it's done. Read 2 Corinthians 4:4, and then I'm going to direct you to Hebrews.
Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them.
Now, do you see where God has blinded your mind? He's turned you over to where you can't see the truth. And that happened to Israel.
Wait, no. Not God.
What?
Satan blinds them.
But God turns you over to that blindness.
Oh, okay, yeah.
God permits it.
Yes.
It makes it, though, God gets it to the point where once you've crossed the line, and I don't know where it is, but verse 23, they've crossed the line. Let me show you another place they've crossed it. Go to Hebrews 3 and read 7. True 12.
Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Therefore,
40 years.
I was angry with that. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest.
Now here, Raven, do you see where it says there shall not? He's referring not on this earth anymore. He's referring to eternity.
Yeah.
They'll never enter his rest. Have you and I, anybody here crossed that point? I highly doubt it, or you wouldn't be listening to this. But look at 12. This shows you how people will depart from the living God because God has blinded them. He has not blinded them, you're right. He's allowed the God of this world, Satan, to do it.
Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God.
You want to keep playing this game like they did in Judges? Wait till we get to 1 Samuel 8:6, where God says, after 450 years, Samuel said they no longer want you in their life. God said they won't have to worry about that anymore. They were done. Their eternity was a lake of fire, period. Don't think this can't happen. And we realize as people would call us a heretic for saying that God is never going to leave you. He will never forsake you. But you can walk away from him, and that's a totally different thing, and that's a heresy in itself, that you can never walk away. He will never abandon you. He will never.
That's right.
He will never break covenant, but it never says we can't.
Amen.
And it doesn't come all at one time. It's gradual. Look at Israel that went through the Red Sea. You knew they believed. It took them 40 years before he finally said, it's over, folks. You're done.
Yeah. Right.
Now read 23.
Therefore, the Lord left those nations without driving them out immediately, nor did he deliver them into the hand of Joshua.
You want to bring eternal calamity? Well, I don't believe in hell. Okay, you're bringing calamity on your head right now. He's not only going to not drive out the nations that are hurting you right now, which are the thorns in your side right now. He will not deliver the nations into the hand of Joshua, which means they will not be defeated ever. It's sort of like in Revelation where the people, the scorpions were biting them and rocks falling on them, and they wanted to die, and they couldn't even die. You really want to get to that point? Because once it gets to this point of 23, folks, or Hebrews 3, 6 and 7 that she read, the game is over. Like Yogi said, the fat lady sings, the ball game's over. This can happen to us on this earth. Raven, read John 3:18 and John 3:36. People say, well, God loves everybody. That is not true. If you have rejected him on this earth, his condemnation and wrath is on your head right now.
Yeah.
But you got a chance to repent still until you die.
He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already.
Right
now,
in the
flesh. Yes, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 36, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him.
That means right now. And how many of the Mickey Mouse preachers have you heard say, well, God loves everybody. God's a big God. He can accept your sin. No. I want to tell you of a little story that happened this weekend, and then we'll be done. Raven knows it, I'm sure. I think I told you Saturday. Two people died this week.
Oh, yeah.
They died. One died December 22nd and the other December 24th. The one who died on the 24th, the last thing his daughter said he said before he died, keep your eyes on Jesus and it'll all work out. I'm only going to tell you what was said. Another person that I've known pretty well since the mid-80s has been declining. He died December 22nd. His last words right before he died. A member of his family told me. He became very, very, very agitated. And one of them went over to him and asked him what was going on. He opened his eyes in horrible agitation and died instantly. You make whatever you want out of that. Two people went into eternity. Now, it's biblical that the angels will escort us from this life into the presence of Christ. That's biblical. Do you think there's a possibility that this other man had the other side escorting him to his resting place? I don't know. I'm not judging. I just take what this one fellow's daughter said, that in midst of all his agony, he said, keep your eyes on Jesus and all things will work out. And then he died. This other person was highly agitated for a long period of time, maybe 2 hours or an hour, and then he closed his eyes. Folks, no matter how much you've rebelled, as long as you're inhaling air and oxygen and exhaling carbon dioxide, there is time to repent from your sin. I don't know how. James 1:5, go to ask God and he will give it to you. He died on the cross to save your soul. But don't push this envelope as I'm afraid some other people do, and they have horrible, horrible images on their deathbed. I have not found a verse in the Bible or know of any that says that the demons will escort you into hell. I have found one that says that there is verses that say that the angels will escort you into God's presence. But you compare and contrast these two people. One of them is suffering, your eyes on Jesus, and everything will work out well. The other one, horrible agitation. I don't want any of you, anybody, to experience that second one. There's time to repent. I don't care what Mickey Mouse, Mary Poppins preaching is today that tells you God accepts sin. It's in his prevenient grace. No, it isn't. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you will know God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. And in Romans 8:29, I believe it says that God's will is for you to be conformed to the likeness of his son. It has nothing to do with him tolerating sin. That is a gospel from the pit of hell. I will say, if that's in the pit of hell. All right, Raven, I'm almost to the end. Why don't you go ahead and say a final prayer? Next week, folks, we will pick up with Judges chapter 3, verse 1.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you said what you did there about these false gospels, Carl. We just see
Raven,
so much of it going on.
Oh, it's horrible. But I think I told you and Jim Saturday that since I heard these two people that I knew, one I knew very well, the guy was agitated. Maybe that's why he was agitated. He knew me well. But the other one I knew. And I'm going to tell you, folks, we're all going to arrive to that point. Consider this stuff seriously. Don't listen because we said it. We gave you verses. I want you to read what we gave you. You make your own decision because you are deciding right now where you're going to spend eternity. So go ahead. And...
Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for everything that you show us as we're going through these studies.
Amen.
We come into this not knowing what exactly to expect, because you lead us it every single week. And I have to say, Lord, that I am so blessed by the teaching that the Holy Spirit gives.
Amen.
Lord, this is, and I say this all the time, but I just really mean it. This is not a ministry of ours. This is a ministry of yours. Because it ministers not only to the hearts and minds of those who call in to listen, that it ministers to our hearts and our spirits as well. We just acknowledge you right now as Lord and thank you for the opportunity, the honor of being involved in this, your ministry. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay, next week we'll be in Judges 3. And we're going to see the redundant, repetitive failure. But that's the way we live, folks. But he never, until your heart stops, he never takes away that chance to repent. Think about it. Okay, Raven, thank you.
You too. Talk to you later.
Take care. Bye.